Yeah, you can give them a praise offering today, church. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I know I've chose other ways early in my life, and I am still going to continue to choose the Jesus way. Right? If you walked in here today or you signed on online and you don't know exactly what we're singing about today, if you don't understand the Jesus way, you're in the right place today. Because you walked into an opportunity, and I just pray as I preach here in a few minutes that you're prepared to receive what I am going to provide, because I believe there's an opportunity facing this church. I believe there's an opportunity facing each and every one of us today. I just wonder if we're prepared to step into the opportunity that God has prepared for us. I wonder. Because sometimes in my life, I arrive at this opportunity and I show up, and God tells me in my spirit, I have been waiting for you. Where have you been? I have prepared it. I have blessed it. I have ordained it for this moment in time, your season, your time, your shift in your life. Here you are. Are you prepared? The preparation's up to us. The opportunity is provided by heaven. That is the Jesus way. We're going to go to the heavens right now, to the throne of the living God. I just pray today that we are prepared to walk into the opportunity that God has ordained for us. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I am ready. Lord God, you know my heart. I am more ready today probably than I have ever been ready. Lord God, I pray you outpour that power, that opportunity into my life, the people at Cross Point Church, those watching online. Lord God, I pray the Jesus way opportunity. Lord God, I pray that we push aside the distractions that the world sends to us, trying to pull us away from the Jesus way. And Lord God, I thank you that you continue to chase me down. I thank you, Lord God, that you continue to chase down Cross Point Church, the people that walk into the house and sign on online every single week. Lord God, you have never forgot about us. And sometimes, Lord, we forget about you. But on this day, Lord God, I pray the Jesus way. I pray for the opportunity that you have prepared me for. I pray for the opportunity that you have prepared this church for. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that the people are ready to receive what they're going to hear today. Prepare them, Lord God. More importantly, Lord God, allow them to be prepared. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look at somebody today, church, and say, I am prepared. I am prepared today. I certainly hope and pray that is what your heart's desire has always been. Well, we made it last week, church, through election 2024 message. Somebody said to me, this morning, well, there's more than 30 here, so, you know, it probably didn't rattle you that much, right? All I preached on was the Jesus way. If you haven't figured that out, that's all it was all about. It was just talking about the Jesus way. Nicole and I had the opportunity to go to the Election Bureau this past week and vote the Jesus way. You probably know by now your pastor is not a super political person. I'm just a super Jesus person. So I don't care. I place that Jesus way filter on everything I say and everything I do, and I just think that's the only way. So, you know, the elections doesn't, you know, rattle me too much. I just apply that filter of Jesus there. And, you know, it works every single time. I've never had a situation where I would say, God, you failed me. I've waited for a few situations, right, but few opportunities, but he's never failed me, and I know that's going to be the case for you, especially today. So thank you for coming into Cross Point Church, into the house. Thank you for joining us on Facebook and YouTube and the online campus at seapoint.church, and you ask why I always do that. Some of you have said, because, church, this is going to be kind of hard to believe. I've said it a couple times. There's more people watching us right now online than there are in the house. They are part of our church, and they are starting to engage themselves more and more and more. And I hear that people online are giving to the house here. I just want to say thank you so much. If you're out there and you've logged on and you've blessed this house with a tithe or offering and you're calling this place home, thank you so much. That is the Jesus way, right? You are part of our family regardless of whether you're sitting here this morning or not. And if you not notice, you know, we have some worship team members out on vacation. How dare they take vacation in the fall, right? Maybe I'll do that. Who knows, right? Uh-oh, I tried, just gave it away. So, you know, and there's many people that are in the hospital. I had a text that said, Pastor, I'm going to be watching you from the hospital room on the message on Sunday. That is the Jesus way, right? So if you're watching from the hospital this morning, thank you for joining us. I pray that you will be blessed today. Now, before the election message that I spoke on, I was in a number of sermon series, as I called them, as you know. I want to do a little review because it's setting the stage for what I'm talking about today. You probably didn't realize that, but it certainly does. And I'm certainly going to be asking you to really start to think as I speak today, really start to think of how that applies to your life. I say that often, but I want you to do that. You know, a couple of months ago, we did a series on the path. Remember that? Direction, not your intention, determines your destination, right? That's called the principle of the path. Your direction, the direction that you're on today, and not your intentions. My intention is to go maybe here, but my direction, what I'm doing everyday life, I'm going really over here, and that's going to be my final destination, where I'm headed, not where I intend to be, right? We talked about that. We ask God to stir us up on that path. God, stir me. Stir me up on that path that I am on right now, Lord God. Stir me. Don't let me go halfway was the next thing we talked about, right? God, don't let me go halfway. Let me go all the way. God, help me not stop halfway through. And God, if I need shifted on that path as you're stirring me, shift me, reposition me, change me, right? Allow my perseverance and my faithfulness to get me through because that's the preparation that I do for the next opportunity God has for you, right? See, church, you may finally be on the right path. God is stirring you. You're committed to go all the way, not halfway, and God has repositioned your seasons and your time, which is what we've been preaching on. You may be right where you need to be, right time, right place, but the question comes up, but are you prepared to receive then the God opportunity that he has for you? And when you say prepared, that means are you ready? You can go through all the things I've been preaching on for the last few months and then arrive at this point in time in this season and not have prepared yourself to receive the opportunity God has right there for you. You've done all the right things to get there, but the preparation isn't complete. And we're going to talk about that today because the message title today is Preparation Meets Opportunity. Watch what happens here today, church. God is preparing you for what he has prepared for you. See, God has this thing. He says, I am going to put you here. I need you here. But before I can use you here, this opportunity, you've got to be prepared. I have been preaching for months on the very topic I am talking about today. The opportunity that God has for you and I and this church, this God-ordained opportunity that we are walking towards, are we prepared to receive it? Are you prepared to receive it in your life? See, God is preparing a church for what he has prepared us for. He's preparing the church. Why? Because God prepares his people for bigger things. God always prepares you for bigger things. Let's jump into 1 Corinthians 2:9 and let's see what it says. Paul is writing to the Corinthians. He says, listen, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind could even imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. He's trying to get through the Corinthians that, listen, there's this wisdom that you have developed in your society that's a worldly wisdom. I have brought you a different wisdom this day, and his name is Jesus. You can't even imagine what he has prepared for you. You can't even fathom, you can't understand what he has placed before you to arrive at this time and this season and the shifting in your life, the path that you're on. There's this opportunity right here. Are you prepared to receive it? Are you ready? And you're going to see today some things that you would say, yeah, I'm ready. And maybe you're going to say, wow, Pastor, I'm not ready. Now, I give you stories when I was growing up and with my mom. My mom just was such an inspiration in my life. And, you know, I was into sports and I was into some things. And she had this phrase, and this phrase were, when I didn't think I did well, which is a lot, if I think I messed up, especially on a baseball field, you know, I didn't have a good game or something, little league or whatever, she had this phrase, and it said, were you prepared? I could still hear it today. Were you prepared? And what's she saying? Were you ready for the moment? When the moment arrived and you stepped into the moment, were you ready? If it had to do with sports, did you practice enough? If it had to do with a test, oh, I hated that part. I got to tell you, you know, I'd come home and, you know, I got to admit, I just didn't like to study, right? I wasn't a big studier. I've gone through, got some formal education, but I just, you know, I don't know if, you know, the Malone students are over here saying, yeah, I hear you, Pastor, right? I just didn't like to study. You know, wow, I'd rather be out playing baseball, right? But when I kind of bombed the test, I would come home and, how'd you do? And I don't lie to mom. You know, you don't lie to your mom. So I don't think I did so well. And then you hear that phrase, were you prepared? I wonder how many times God asks us that. You know, she was really teaching me. See, our success happens when 10,000 hours of preparation meets 1 second of a God opportunity. Now, speaking of stories, I remember when our boys were young. And they liked this game called Guitar Hero. You know that game, right? Kids, you know, Guitar Hero, and that was a game that you would play, and it would let you play the guitar when you didn't know how to play the guitar, right? So they would get to pretend to play the guitar. I know, is that game still out here today? You know, are we still playing that game? Probably not. Guitar Hero, right? And I would go down the basement, we'd see the boys playing guitar, she's smiling, they'd be playing guitar, and boy, they were good, right? They were really good. You can't play the guitar, I'm pretending. I'm pretending to play the guitar. See, they wanted to be secret rock stars, but they couldn't play the guitar because they would only pretend to do it and never prepare to learn it. Day in, day out, we go down the basement. There they are. You could hear the thing going on, right? Some of the boys were into it more than others, but that thing was going on, and that Guitar Hero game was thing, and it was just a pretending, not a preparation, because it took a lot of preparation to learn how to play the guitar. And they did a lot of pretending, but they didn't do a lot of preparation, right? See, sometimes we're more interested in recognition than preparation. I want to play the guitar, but I'm not going to prepare to learn how to play the guitar. For instance, today, I prepared to preach. I'm ready. I prepared, right? Now, after I'm done today, a few of you may say, no, you weren't. No, you weren't, right? Because some people would say this phrase, and every preacher hears this phrase. If you're a preacher in the house, and I met somebody today that's a preacher, and you are, the Pastor Mike and Christine and others, there's preachers out. You've heard this phrase, Pastor, your message just doesn't bless me or feed me, right? Every pastor has heard that. There's not a pastor on the face of the planet that's not heard that, right? And it's just, you know, but then there's many people that would come to you and say, wow, Pastor, that was the best message I've ever heard, right? I had more feedback from Election 2024 message last week. More people reached out to me, both in the house when you were leaving, text messages, emails, phone calls. I have never had so many, both in the community and outside of the community, even in Columbia. If you know who's down in Columbia, right? We have some people that travel down to Columbia and they're watching this morning. Thank you so much. And they would send text messages. That was the Jesus way. Just, you know, just a feedback, right? On an election message. but all pastors here, that doesn't feed me. But listen, I've never known a preacher who didn't prepare to preach it. But I have known many people that weren't prepared to receive it. The quality of the soil is more important than the quality of the seed. So, church, are you prepared this morning to receive it? See, there's value in preparation. See, when you walk into a church or you sign online, you should have already prepared yourself to go into God's house. The preacher has. He's preparing a message. Whoever is preaching on a Sunday, me, Pastor Mike, you know, someone's going to come up here, and it didn't take them an hour to do it. Mike, say amen. Say, right. Yeah, right. If you're like Nicole, right, God bless her soul, when she preaches one time a year, and you know this already, on Mother's Day, it takes her 40 hours to research and read and study. Why? She doesn't do it every Sunday, so she doesn't have the flow. Now, it would take me like 3 months to sing up here, and it did. If you remember right, I sang here one time, 3 years ago, one worship song. I bombed, and I prepared, and Nicole says, "Were you ready?" Yeah, and she knows I was. But it's not right. It's not my gifting, right? But I did prepare more than ever. Like, what, seriously, 2 months? And we were in here like 3 times a week practicing because it's just not my thing, right? But there's value in preparation. Jesus prepared for a public ministry. 30 years of preparation. He was 30 years old when he started his public ministry, right? That's what the scripture teaches us. He prepared for 30 years. He prepared for 30 years. Jesus prepared for 30 years doing something he was not created or called to do. So if you're sitting here today saying, "I'm not even in the area that God wants me, I don't feel like I'm doing what God wants me to do," trust me, Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus was doing something he was never created to do or called to do. But it was part of the requirement to get to what he was supposed to do when he turned 30, a public ministry. See, even when we don't think God is preparing us, God's got you someplace to prepare us. Why? Because in front of us, somewhere at some point, there's an opportunity that God wants to give us, put into our lives, and we've got to be ready for it. And we spend more time complaining about the preparation because we don't see it than we do when we get to the opportunity and then receive it. But Jesus didn't do it like that. Jesus just went about the Father's business in his preparation. See, back in the ancient Jewish laws back then, you had to be 30 years old before they would give you any kind of big responsibility. They believed it was part of the age of maturity, responsibility. And it's no happenstance that God allowed it to be 30, because it just fit right in there, right? I will prepare you for 30 years, and you will just walk into the opportunity, and people will see you getting this responsibility. Now, they didn't always agree with him, right? You know that. But he allowed that to happen right at the age of responsibility in ancient Jewish laws and customs. That was kind of like the age. Today, some of our younger people tell us it's this age. Some of the older people say that it should be this age. Have you ever heard that, right? Like, it should be this age. I think it's the age that God says it is. And God said it was 30 for him. And why? Why is that? Well, in Proverbs 24:27, it reads like this: "Do your planning and prepare your fields before building the house." You know, I've never seen a construction company build the house before they cleared the land and prepared the soil. Never. The land is cleared, the soil, that's what Proverbs is talking about. Cleared the soil, cleared it up, got it ready before they even laid one foundation in that home. There's a lot of preparation. We have people in our church that are involved in house building, not only on the construction side, but the design side, and they design the house, the blueprints, and what it's going to look like when it's all completed. But I tell you what, folks, somebody goes out to that land and clears the land, prepares the soil before anything happens. That's the preparation to build the house. Now, the house today is you and I. were far more important than some physical structure. And what are we doing today as people and as a church to prepare for what God is going to deliver? Are we going to be ready? Church, I'm going to tell you right now, God has something coming. I have felt this for quite some time. God has something coming for you and I. God has something coming for your Crosspoint Church. God has got this opportunity that's going to show up, and he's been just pounding me saying, are you going to be ready? That's the whole reason why I've preached the messages I've been preaching for the last few months. Are you going to be ready for it? You know, in the Bible, there's a story about the Shuhamite woman, and we don't hear much about it. You don't read it a lot. She lived in the village of Shunem, and she's identified as a Shunemite woman, okay? You probably don't know the story, but maybe you do if you read a lot. You know, she's a wealthy woman. Nothing wrong with being wealthy. She's following God. She has no kids, no son. She has a lot of interaction with the prophet Elisha. And she identifies him as a godly man, as we'll talk about here. She identifies him, accepts him as a man of God, right? You got people in your life you say that about? He would come by her house a lot, and she decides, her husband decides to build this room, prepare a room so he had a place to stay, right? There's no Holiday Inns back then. There's no, you know, you travel, you can pretty much stay anywhere you want. But back then, you know, somebody's going to prepare a house. They made a room for Elisha because they believed that was the right thing to do. A man of God, I'm going to invest in, we're going to prepare this room for him, prepare a room for him so he has a place to stay. And so they do that. They set up a room. They confess that he's a true prophet and a man of God. And so when he would go on his travels with Elisha, he would stay with them. He would pass their home, and he was welcomed in their home. And she would start talking about, I don't have a son. So Elisha, the man of God he is, you know, he's going to pray over her and prophetically speak that you will have a son. She wanted the child. She wanted the son. So Elijah prays over her and prophetically speaks to her, you're going to have a son. The opportunity is going to show up. Just continue to prepare your life to receive the opportunity. Church, your pastor is saying the opportunity is going to show up in your church and in your life. Are you going to prepare? And that's exactly what he was telling her. You don't see it. You don't have any kids. You've tried, and you don't have any sons, but I'm going to say over you and prophetically speak to you, you're going to have one. And so he does that. And the woman later bears a son. She bears a son because a man of God laid hands on her and they prayed. But she went looking for Elisha one day. And we're going to pick up the story in 2 Kings 4:26. It's short, but I wanted to lay the groundwork because here's what happens. Elisha sees this woman running towards her. And he tells his servant, go see what the problem is. And here's where it goes. Please run to meet her. Elisha's telling his servant, go meet her. Don't make her come all the way to me. Go out to her and prepare the way to me. Go see what the problem is. Please run to meet her and then say to her, is it well with you? Immediately identify, are you okay? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child, the one we prayed for and you were blessed with the opportunity to have a child? And her answer is, it is well. But it wasn't well. But she identifies and says, it's well. She's running to Elisha. Nothing appears out of the ordinary, church. It just seems like the normal scripture, and the servant goes out to identify any needs, any situations that I need to get to Elisha, and it's all good. It's all good. But it wasn't. But she identifies and says, it is well. She declares, it is well. But it really wasn't because her child had died. She's running to Elisha because she needs help. She's running to Elijah to see if he'll come and heal her son who's already passed. Can you do anything? But she identifies as it's all well. You've got to ask yourself, why would she say it's all well when her child had died? And I'm going to tell you right now, church, why. Because this woman prepared herself in life. She followed God. She lived for heaven. She prepared a way for a prophet to stay at her home. She did all the right things. He blessed her, prayed over her. God delivered a son to her. He had passed away. She's seeking out Elisha for help and still says, it's well. Why? Why would she say it's well when all of us in the room and watching online would probably never say that? You'd probably be, we would be in mourning. We'd be, because she prepared herself. She did all the right things. And she still knew that God had a final say. So she's showing up to Elijah, the one who prayed over her for that son, saying, I need another God opportunity, and I have always prepared my life to receive it, and I'm not stopping now. Is exactly why she does it. Preparation is not a one-time event, church. It's a lifelong process. That woman continually trusted God even after her son passed away, right? She had prepared her heart. She had prepared the home, her physical home, her spiritual home, a room in her home for Elijah to stay in. She had made all the right preparations, and she was never going to stop. And even when she came upon the servant and said, it is well, she's still confessing, God has the final authority in my life. And I believe, because of all my preparation, everything I've done in my life, there's still another God opportunity in front of me. And she's coming to Elijah for that opportunity, right? And she shows up. The story goes, you know, she didn't come in anger. The scripture doesn't say she came in despair. She did come blaming God. There's nothing referencing. She didn't come blaming God. She knew God was in control. She knew God had the situation handled. She knew that everything would work out. And that's the very reason why she said, it's well. I don't know, folks. I don't know if we could do that. But she did that because she was prepared to do it. And if you know the story, Elijah shows up at her home. The child is laying dead on the bed, right? It's not in my notes today or anything, but he's lying dead. And Elijah goes and lays on top of him, and he looks in his face. His eyes are to his eyes, the scripture teaches us. His nose is to his nose. He lays on top of him, and he speaks the opportunity of life back into that child. He gets up on him, and he paces the room, the Bible says, and he's praying. He paces the room. He goes back, and he speaks life to that child, and that child, the Bible says, opened his eyes. Because the opportunity of the mother said, I am just prepared for that. I know that opportunity could show up. I know it's going to be well. I just believe it. I receive it. Elisha, I'm coming to you for help. And he shows up. See, preparation positions us for a God opportunity. That preparation in our life positions us. Now, I'm going to use the story of Joseph today, and I'm doing this on purpose, because we've used it before, so you're familiar with the story of Joseph, right? He had the brothers. He wore the coat of many colors. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. They were just lovely family, right? Sold into slavery. He goes down to Egypt, right? And he's imprisoned, eventually imprisoned, and there he remains, right? Years in prison. But throughout that whole ordeal, Joseph remained faithful, and he prepared for when God's opportunity showed up. He would be ready. He didn't go in there kicking himself and wailing and just, I can't believe, God, you would put me here. I can't believe my family is just mean to me. I can't believe, God. He went in there and just continued to prepare himself for the time that the opportunity of God would show up. And it does. You know the scripture. It does show up. He just remained faithful. And one day, Pharaoh called upon him to interpret a dream. And he was ready. We pick up the scripture in Genesis 41, 14 through 16. It reads like this. Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once. Why? Because all the other people that he had to interpret his dreams, they were failing him. I heard about this guy that's in prison. Go get that guy. Let's see what he says. And he was quickly brought from prison. But look, he was quickly brought from prison after he prepared and he shaved and he changed his clothes. Is that because you have to do that to go in front of Pharaoh? Yeah. But would he have done that if it wasn't a requirement to do it? Would he have prepared? I say yeah. Why? Because he was representing something much bigger than himself. He was representing the kingdom of heaven, and he wanted to be prepared to do that. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, but no one here, that's his inner circle, can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means to set you at ease. He's proclaiming his preparation. God's going to tell me how to interpret your dream. God's going to tell you, folks, how to move through your situation. God's going to tell you how to get through that opportunity, how to arrive at that opportunity and get through that opportunity. The very opportunity that you're sitting here today or watching online saying, this is what I need, it's in front of you. God's going to show you how to prepare to get there. Are you ready? Joseph sat in prison for years preparing. And even prepared to stand in front of Pharaoh. He didn't know when the opportunity was going to show up. He didn't know when God was going to deliver it. He didn't know when the jailer would come, put the key in the door and open it up and say, come on, somebody wants to see you, and it's Pharaoh. He had no idea when that season or that time would happen. He had no idea when his path would shift, heading for the opportunity. But every single day of every single week for the years he was in prison, he was preparing. Why? Because he said inside of him, it is well. I know the opportunity will show up, and I'm going to prepare for it. And he does. And what happens? What's the story? The story goes, he was made ruler, a ruler in Egypt, because he prepared. So the opportunity comes with a reward. The opportunity was he stood before Pharaoh, interpreted a dream, and the reward was he granted him favor, and he became a ruler. How many want to be a ruler today? Right? It's the preparation that gets to the opportunity that receives the reward from heaven. Right? See, when preparation meets opportunity, God shows up. When preparation meets opportunity, God shows up. Preparation can be in unseen places. Let's talk about David, 1 Samuel 16, 11 through 13, then Samuel. Now, Samuel's looking for the next king of Israel, right? He's looking for the God opportunity for somebody. It's not him, but let's go shopping. Then Samuel asks, are these all the sons you have? He's going to the house of Jesse. Jesse's got some sons. God sends him there. He's looking for the next king, right? So they're lining up the kids, right? Is it you? Is it you? I'm paraphrasing. Is it you? No, 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 right? That's what's going on here. And then the conversation turns. There's still my young one out in the backfield. He's just a boy. He's got nothing to offer, right? There's still the youngest, Jesse replied, but he's out in the field watching the sheep and the goats. Not the most desirable job, but that's where we stuck him. He sends for him. Go get this guy, right? Samuel says, we will not sit down and eat until he arrives. Why? We didn't go through all the kids. There's somebody missing. We got to go through him as well. We got to talk and pray and listen and see what he has to offer. So Jesse sends for him. Dad sends for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one. I love this story. Anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel, who had all been declined, right? Samuel took the flask of olive oil. He brought it and anointed David with the oil, anointing him to be the king in the future of Israel. And then the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. The opportunity shows up in a house out in the back 40 that nobody really knows about. Not a whole lot going on. And this young kid who's out in the field doing a dirty job and tending to the sheep, it's not the most desirable situation. Church, you may be in something right now. It's not the most desirable. Nobody knows about it. No one's giving you an accolades about it. No one's giving you the attaboy or attagirl every day you come in from the field. It's not happening. He's young. You know, no one really cares, but they will care if the job doesn't get done, but he's going to do it, and no one really knows what's going on. That's most of us sitting here today or watching online. It's where we feel like we're in this position that does God really know? God knows. God knows. The story goes, as you know, David's in the field. He's preparing. What's he being? His faithfulness and his perseverance. To do what? Get up every morning at 3 o'clock and head to the field. To stay until wee hours of the night. To chase down the sheep that go astray. To fight off the animals that try to attack. The things that nobody else wants to do. And Jesse presents him. And God says, that's my guy. Why? Because he was preparing in the backfield of life. Doing something that he was never called to do, never meant to do, but was prepared to do so it would lead him to bigger and better things. God let him prepare in the backfield, as you know the story, right? They anoint him. You're going to be a king. He wasn't even considered. He was overlooked by man. And after they anointed him, he went back to work. They didn't put a crown on his head and a coat and said, you're now king. We anoint you as king in the future, and God's going to be powerfully with you. Go back to work. Go back to the sheep. Because the opportunity's coming. Are you going to remain faithful and prepared? See, sometimes our preparation happens in private for what God has prepared us for in public. God prepares us in private for what he is going to give us in public. The problem with a lot of us is we want the public ministry before we get the preparation in the private side. Jesus spent 30 years in the private side preparing as a carpenter and doing the normal things of life. God provides opportunities based on your preparation, Matthew 25. Let's jump back to the parable of the talents. We talked about this before. I set you up. I'm telling you, this is how it goes. This is what we're trying to get through to you, make you understand. There's a weight of money involved. The master is going to go away, right? He's got three servants he's going to give some money to. He gives instructions. He wants them to prepare to invest some money, right? One, he gives 5 talents, which is a measure of money, be it gold, silver, whatever, a measure of money. He gives 2 talents, a measure of money. And the Bible says, to their ability. See, God doesn't expect you to do more than what you're capable of doing. So one gets 5, one gets 2, one gets 1. But he's going to bless it all the same, right? He's going to bless it all. But he wants them to prepare to do something with the money. And he gives them instructions to. I'm going to go. I want you to invest this money. I want you to do something with the money, right? So the one guy does something, right? He doubles the money from 5 to 10. The other one doubles from 2 to 4. And one of them that had the 1 buries it. He wasn't prepared to meet the master when the master came back, as the story goes, right? He wasn't prepared. 2 of them were prepared for a reward. 1 was not. And the Bible has a phrase for those 2 that prepared. And the phrase is this. It's not on the screen. The phrase is this. Made ruler over many things. Church, I don't know about you. Who wants to be a ruler over many things, right? Prepare. I'll give you 5 talents. I want you to prepare and invest this. Do the preparation you need. What's the preparation? Do the research. Figure it out. Do whatever you got to do to invest it. Figure it out, right? To the one that had the others. Figure it out. Figure it out. Figure it out. 2. Figured it out because they prepared, they researched. See, you can't step into a public situation of God opportunity if you don't prepare to get there. The last one just buried it, scared, no preparation. So the 2 were made rulers over many things, but not the 3rd. Why? No preparation. No preparation. See, God's opportunities can also come suddenly. Let's talk about that as we bring this in for a landing. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through 15. Talk about being called to do something, right? It goes like this. In Damascus, there is a disciple named Ananias. Living life like everybody else does, right? All of us. Living life, right? This is a story of who meets Paul after Paul meets Jesus on Damascus Road. Paul is heading towards Damascus, as you know the story, hating life, hating Jesus, hating Christians, and Jesus meets him, and the conversion begins. So they're in Damascus, and there's this guy named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. See, it might be in a vision, but there's dialogue between heaven and us. And he responds, yes, Lord. The Lord told him, go to this house of Judas on Straight Street. I love to live on Straight Street, right? Straight Street. And ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul before he's converted to Paul. For he's praying. Saul's blind. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. As you know the story, he loses his sight during the conversion and the meeting Jesus on the Damascus Road. He's blind at the time. God's telling this guy, telling Saul, someone's going to show up, lay hands on you, heal your eyes. The vision to Ananias says, you're the guy, go do it. What an opportunity. Ananias was prepared because he's been living, right? And he's been given an opportunity that we read about today. He's an everyday guy, everyday person, just like we all are here. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Israel. In Jerusalem. I know this guy. He's a bad guy. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. Church, the Lord says to us today, just go. Don't diagram everything. I'm just giving you a commandment. Trust heaven. Just go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. This is the guy I have chosen. Now go do it. Normal everyday person, Ananias. But he was spiritually prepared to hear the voice of God and played a key role in Saul's conversion to writing about 2/3 of the New Testament. Because a guy was prepared, an everyday person. He listened to heaven, and God said, go and do this. See, he was prepared to be called from heaven to go. He was ready, church. Are you ready? When the God opportunity shows up, have you prepared yourself? Are we ready? When our preparation aligns with God's timing, a miracle happens. Again, listen, I hope this hits home. Jesus prepared for 30 years doing something he was not created or called to do. But God asked him to do it. He spent time in the wilderness. He prayed. He built relationships with people. He developed a deeper connection to heaven, his Father in heaven. He prepared for a public ministry. What are we doing as a church? What are we doing as individuals to prepare us for the God opportunity that's going to show up? When God says go, are we going to be able to go as a church, as people? Remember the disciples in Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 2 after Jesus had ascended to heaven? What did they do? You would think that their leader is now gone. They would go back to life. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but they saw the man ascend into the clouds with a declaration and proclamation, go into the city and wait, and all these things, right? They could have just said, eh. But you know, the disciples continued to prepare even though the leader was no longer there. Preparation didn't stop. In fact, the Bible says preparation stirred up. See, the disciples were on a path before Jesus showed up. While spending time with Jesus, they started to get stirred because they watched Jesus do all these miracles. They questioned some things. They were normal, everyday guys, right? Some of you would say not the brightest, not the sharpest tack of the box. Fishermen, some, right? Tax collector. But they were on a path before Jesus showed up and met them. And they started to get stirred, hanging out with Jesus in the Jesus way. They dipped their toe in the water. They started to go slow, and they started to gain momentum with Jesus. One of them denied Jesus at the end, Peter, right? He preached a powerful message. But Jesus ascends, and the shift in their lives begin. From where they used to be as fishermen and tax collectors and normal everyday Joes to something different. Something different. And they started to prepare for it. In fact, the scripture says they lost one of their disciples, Judas, so they had to nominate somebody else. Jesus isn't even there, but we're still going to nominate another disciple and replace him. Because there's a shift going on, and there's an opportunity ahead of us, and we're still going to prepare. And so they had this nomination process to replace him. They nominated Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, and they also nominated Matthias. But you know Matthias was the one that was selected. They started waiting for the opportunity. They started praying without their leader for the promise of the Father that was going to come, but they didn't understand what that meant. But then on the day of Pentecost, the opportunity arrived, the outpouring of the power of the living God for what Jesus said would be coming because he's leaving. The same power that's in the room today as you listen to the conclusion of the message. It's the same power. With the same opportunity. With the same expectation that we prepare to get there. Church, the disciples' preparation birthed the church of Jesus Christ. That you sit in today. That you enjoy. That you walk in. God is preparing you for what he has prepared for you. See, God has an opportunity waiting for you to catch up to it. God has an opportunity for you to catch up to it. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you prepared to receive it? Because it's coming. It could be tomorrow. It could be this afternoon. It could be in 5, 10, 15 years because God's going to make you prepare for it before you receive it. And that theme is throughout Scripture. The preparation meets the opportunity, but the preparation is determined by heaven, but are we going to do it? Perseverance, faithfulness meets an opportunity. What are we doing today, church, as a church? What are we doing as individuals to get there? I know what God's laid on my heart, and I am like laser focused. God, just allow me to continue to prepare. And when you reveal it to me, I'm all in because I'm ready. Church, I'm going to ask you to commit to that today. I'm going to ask you to commit to be prepared for what God's going to deliver in an opportunity in your life in our church right here. If you're watching online, I would ask you to do the same. So church, I'm going to ask you just to bow your hearts, close your eyes, and I have one question as we conclude today. I've been saying, are you ready? I just want to know if we're going to make a commitment this morning on this day as Crosspoint Church and as individual believers. And if you're not a believer today, you can make that profession of faith as well. But I want to know this morning, are you committing to continue to prepare? Or are you going to commit to prepare? And if that is you today and you say, heaven, I am going to do whatever it takes. I am going to pray more, whatever it takes. I am going to prepare to receive the opportunity that heaven has for me. If that's you, slip up your hand. I just want to pray. Many, the whole place is filled with hands. Is there anybody else? I'm not going to call you down front today, church. I just want to pray. Because the Bible says the opportunity is there. It's us who don't inherit the opportunity because we're not ready for it. God can't give us something if we're not ready. And I say, let's get ready for an outpouring of heaven at Crosspoint Church, an outpouring of heaven into your health, your finances, your life, your family, your relationships. You know, if you're not committed to the house, if you're not coming to church on a regular basis or watching online and you think God's going to restore your relationships, you're wrong. He wants to see the preparation in your life before he gives you the opportunity for victory. And all those hands that went up today, I'm going to pray over that right now. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, you have impressed upon me for months and months and months, most of 2024. For this day, this opportunity, the expectation of the preparation to arrive at the opportunity, Lord God, I have done exactly what you asked me to do. So, Lord God, for the people that raise their hands here today, they have committed to continue to prepare. And if they haven't been preparing, they have committed to prepare, because there's a God opportunity coming on the horizon, and I don't want them to miss it. I don't want them to walk out of Cross Point Church today or shut off their device and not get to the opportunity that they are preparing for or should be preparing for. Lord God, they committed. Lord God, now bless them, show them, direct their path. Restore us, Lord. Get us back on the right direction. And let us receive the opportunity that you have for us today. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Church, stand with me today. I don't know, preparation meets opportunity. And when that happens, I think there's just joy in the house. What do you think? I don't know, there's joy in the house. Let's sing today. There's joy in the house of the Lord. I see preparation meeting opportunity, and that's for you and I. God bless you all.